Hello, hi everyone. My name is Kenny. Good to see you all here. I'm a local, live in Castle Hill. And in fact, this is my, outside is my favorite street. You know, I come here all the time. Yeah, Bunnings, yeah. Every something's wrong and I'm gonna go Bunnings, I'm gonna fix it up. And then sometimes I also like the sausages that's there as well. So it's good to be to finally come here and see what's on the other side of the street. So thank you for having me, and thanks to Joe. Joe and I sort of work together, serve at Baulkham Hills High School with some of the Christian things that happens there. So and I now ask him to come and do all sorts of stuff for me. So I'm really glad to be able to return the favor today. So I'm not sure your pattern of what you guys normally do, but I've got like a half an hour sermon. Is that normal? Yeah. That looks all right. And then normally, we might read from the Bible. If you got a Bible, I think it's John. We're reading from John 21. Okay, now that's not going to be on PowerPoint. So if you got a phone or a Bible with you, John 21 is what we're going to be following on. It's going to be on John 21, yeah? Okay. Yes. Okay. Right. Good. Maybe I'll start by reading it, and then we'll get into it. Yeah. Okay. Chapter 21. Let me pray, and then I'll read that. Heavenly Father, we just pray for us as we come before Your Word that we will understand it, that it will not just be words, but it will enter our hearts, and then we might practice it. In Jesus' name, Amen. Okay. Chapter 21, verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to His disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I am going to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we will go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but at night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the great number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw the fire and burning coals with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of fish, 153, and even with the nets not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Okay. Do I control the thing? Okay. Right. I'm not sure. I'll just put the PowerPoint on. Thank you. Do you know there's a phrase called regressing? You know regressing? Yeah, okay. Maybe you've got a kid. You've sort of they've sort of grown up. You trained it a little bit. Train him or her. And then you thought everything was fine, and then suddenly they wet their beds, okay? And you go, what is that? Or suddenly they start sucking their thumbs, like they were back in the being. The toddler goes back to being a baby. They've regressed. Or maybe you've got a pet, and who seemingly has forgotten their training, step back into time and start to you know, wee and poo all around the house everywhere. Okay, has that happened to anybody? Yeah. Okay. Right, good. Maybe more closer to home. Some of us are regressing, right? Some of us older people, middle-aged people, we think we are 25 years old, okay? And we pick up old sports, okay? Anyone done that? You haven't played basketball for ages and you decide, hey, I'm going to go and play and relive my high school days, okay? And guess what happens, all right? The muscles haven't been moving, hasn't been moved for 25 years. You start moving them, you get all sorts of strange sores, right? Or more sadly, when we grow old, you know, we might lose a little bit of our memory, we get a bit senile, and maybe sort of regress maybe 30 years back or whatever, right? Different memory. Now, I understand you've been reading this book of John, and it's been a story of progress, hasn't it? Here is the story starts off with one man who bit by bit gathered a whole following of people. Miracles, they get bigger and bigger and bigger, finally culminating in the biggest miracle of all, the resurrection of Jesus. And then we come to this chapter. It's a bit of an anticlimax, a bit regressive, a bit of a tacked-on bit of the Bible, and some scholars call it just an epilogue, an appendix, right? An unnecessary bit of it. But we're going to look at it and see how it sums up the whole book of John. So keep your Bibles open on chapter 21. And verse 1 begins with a bit of a recollection. Oh, okay. This way. Okay, I'm pressing it wrong. Did I turn it on? Okay. Nope. Oh, there we go. Okay, right, good. Oh, so are you helping me? Is that what it is? I'll just say next slide. Okay. All right. So that were my points for today. And let's try and do that under half an hour. Okay, next slide. Terrific. Okay. Verse 1 starts with a bit of a recollection. Verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. Okay. And there's a list of disciples. Verse 2, Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathaniel, and so forth, right? Now, in John, you don't get a full list of disciples like you do in the other books, but the last time any list of disciples was formed was back in chapter 1. Next slide. Chapter 1, where it was like John chapter 1, Philip, Andrew, Peter, and Nathaniel. They were all gathered one by one. Jesus called them to follow him. In particular, named Nathaniel here, and some people think it's the same name as Bartholomew, appears in the Synoptics. It only appears in chapter 1, and here in chapter 21, sort of the two bookends. And also the phrase, next slide. Also, two of his disciples that we read in 21 verse 2 also appears here as well. The story seems to be in chapter 21, seems to be going back in time. It's calling us to remember what happened at the start of the book of John. Because it seems like the disciples are regressing. For example, in verse 3, I am going to fish, Simon Peter told them. And then the rest said, oh, we'll go with you. Okay, wait. Now, what's weird about this? You might remember in chapter, next slide, in Matthew, Matthew 4, they were called by Jesus, and he called them to come as fishers of men. Come and follow me. And what they did was they left their nets, their boats, their tools, they left it all behind in order to follow Jesus, right? But now, it seems like they've gone back to being fishers of fish, okay? Let's go fishing, they're saying. So the result, verse 3, they went out, got on a boat, and at night they caught nothing. And there are other indications of regression here. Verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. It's almost like the last 3 years of hanging out with each other every day. What happened to that? Jesus is like, you back to square one again. Jesus is like a stranger to you. In fact, in verse 5, Jesus will call out to them. I'm just reading from the NIV here. The versions will say, friends, haven't you any fish? Literally, it's the word in Greek, it's the word children. Jesus calls them children, right? I don't know how you feel like as adults going around, but that's the ultimate put down is when someone calls you a child, isn't it? Right? Hey, kid. Right? I know we all have Asian faces, so you always look young at the pub and everything. But you know, but if someone says you're immature, someone says you're but a child, you're a kid, it's an insult to you. Because it just sounds like you've regressed. You've gone back to being kids. Back to being that someone who's, you know, someone's going to tell you what to do. You don't know how to, you're not toilet trained. You're just a kid. And even when they do realize who Jesus is, look at verse 7. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard this, it is the Lord. He wrapped his outer garment around him, for it had taken off, and jumped into the water, and others followed in the boat. The actions of Peter echoes Jesus' actions in chapter 13. Next slide. Back when, remember when he washed their feet, right? What did Jesus do then? Jesus took off his outer clothing, and then he went down and put a towel around him, and then he washed the disciples' feet. That was the way he was going to serve them. But here, Peter is described in verse 7 as he had taken off his outer garment. It's almost as though he said, look, I've put aside from my vocation of serving Christ, serving others, and I'm going back to fishing. Okay. He's not ready to serve. And perhaps it was good that he jumped into the water and got his whole body cleaned, not just his feet. And lastly, later on, verse 15 of our present chapter, look at what Jesus calls him. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Right? His name is no longer Peter. What's the name? It's back in the chapter 1 name. Simon, son of John. You're no longer Peter the Rock, you're Simon. It's like when your relatives, you know, call you, you know, hey, a boy, a girl, you know, you have a little child, you are. Peter has regressed. This should be a time of triumphalism. Christ has risen. So what's going on? Is it his fear? Is the drama all too hard? Has the last few weeks been, it's been 40 days, around 40 days, has it been just too difficult and he just wants to go back to the simple life? As Christians, we're tempted to return to the former life, isn't it? Christians have been called to a higher purpose, to a higher morality. But like Peter, we're tempted to regress. We are tempted to regress back to our old habits, regress back to our former way of life. We want to go back to fishing. And Jesus asks us, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these nets? Do you love me more than these boats? Perhaps life has gone hard for us. Perhaps serving is hard. Perhaps you put yourself out there for Jesus, for the church, for the gospel, and you got hurt. But it doesn't mean that we should regress. Do you really love your old life that much? Go back exactly to the same things that made you want to see Christ in the first place? Next slide. Next slide again. That's a phrase from Peter, and perhaps he knows this much. He knows a lot of this. The proverb is true of people who go back to their former life. A dog returns to his vomit. A sow that is washed goes back to a wallowing in the mud. So you left a bad relationship, a relationship that was not Christ-centered. And you found Jesus, you repented and swore that you will never do that again. But now you want to go back to another foolish relationship, citing that it will be different this time. You were burnt out from meaningless work. You found real purpose in Jesus and serving him. And now, after a few years, that itch is still there. And you want to go back to that craziness again, forgetting the pain, forgetting the sacrifice of others that it brings. Or perhaps you left a bad church, wishing for better fellowship. And you found this church. You participated. You had a great time, right? But things been a bit busy lately, and suddenly, that's just not a really priority anymore. I thought you wanted a better fellowship. I thought you wanted a community. Jesus asks us, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? Rather than regressing, the solution is to progress. Peter is urged to remember. And the whole of chapter 21 is a bit of like a recap for Peter, of key events in John to trigger his memory of things that went bad, trigger things of his commitment to Christ. For example, the events in chapter 6, right? Back then, you might remember, I have another slide. You might remember the feeding of the 5,000. Next slide. Where you have... is there another slide? Oh, okay, back. That's okay. You can go back. Oh, yeah, that one. Oh, good. Okay. Back in chapter 6, remember there was a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. And then Jesus took the loaves, he broke it, and then he distributed it to the ones. Well, here in chapter 21, the same thing appears, right? There is, when they landed in verse 9, they saw burning coals with fish on it and some bread. And then Jesus would go on in verse 13 to distribute it to them. So we've got like a memory of this, the feeding. And then Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you had caught. Verse 11, Simon Peter climbed back and they dragged the net ashore. Sort of also in chapter 6, next slide, where no one comes to me unless the Father who has sent me draws them, okay, drags them in as well, okay. They catch 153 fish. Some people think that's symbolic. Maybe it's the full variety or species of fish out in the Sea of Galilee. If you add 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 up to 17, you get 153, okay. But I don't know what 17 means, but so, okay. I suspect it's probably just an exact amount, okay? Fishermen count their sheep the way, you know, working at Woolies, you want to count your hours that you worked. They probably knew exactly what fish it was, whatever it is, right? And they've drawn it in. And Jesus says, verse 12, come and have breakfast. He's already cooked it. He doesn't really need the fish. And this is a big deal because this is a reminder of Peter's confession back in that feeding. Remember after that feeding of 5,000, what Peter said? Next slide. Maybe it's not there. You might remember he said that just John chapter 6, verse 66, when everyone was leaving Jesus, Jesus asked Peter, do you want to leave as well? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. You know, everyone's leaving. Everyone's abandoning Jesus. And Peter goes, who can I go to? You have the words of life. I'm sticking with you. What's happened to Peter and those promises? You know, he recognized that Jesus is the one with the bread from heaven. He's the one with food for the soul. He's the one that can nourish him for eternity. He's the one that fulfills all his needs and longings and everything's done. But yet, you know what Peter ends up doing in chapter 18? Well, he ends up betraying Jesus. I go next slide now. Should be the right one. Yeah. Here's in John 18, there's people are asking him questions. He goes, are you one of the disciples too? And they were standing around the fire that kept them warm. It was in the early morning, right? And Jesus said, no, I do not know this man. Three times, Peter would abandon and betray Jesus, saying, I have no idea who this is. This is a stranger. I do not recognize him. This man has nothing to do with me. Right? And here is, he should remember that, because here in 21, again, he's back in that scenario. There's a fire going on with charcoal, it's described as. And there's also, it's also the early morning as well. He's back in that time. And I think Jesus is trying to remind him of his promises that he's made, and also that he betrayed those promises. And friends, we've all disappointed our Lord. We've done things that we should not have done. Even after made promises, but there is hope. In verse 15, Jesus gives Peter a chance to recommit himself. Verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. Is it hurt because he was angry that Jesus would ask that sort of question? Is he hurt because he realized that three times he had betrayed Jesus? And here is Jesus reminding him of that. Do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. All right. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Three times Peter betrays Jesus. Three times here, Peter recommits to following Jesus once more. Do you love me? Do you remember your confession? Do you remember that I'm the one who feeds you? Do you remember that you said you're going to follow me? Well, if you do, then feed my sheep. Love others. Serve others. Become the fisher of men that you were meant to be. And for these sheep, Peter will eventually die. Verse 18, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went to where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. It's a bit cryptic here. We're not really given the answer as to what actually happens. But from church tradition, we know that Peter will go on to indeed sacrifice his life for God and for the church. According to tradition, Peter was crucified, but his last request was that he be crucified upside down so that he would not be compared to Christ. But perhaps it's supposed to be left unanswered as to what happened. Because maybe it's not about Peter, it is about us. It's like that ambiguous ending at the last chapter of Mark, right? What will we do as the audience who have read this? What will we do as the people who have read through a book of John and now we've come to this appendix? What will we do with our love for Jesus? You know, we backslide, we're lazy, we forget, we get distracted, we lose motivation. And it's been a long year of serving for some of you, I'm sure. And Jesus asks, do you love me? Remember what you first believe. When you face doubt, go back to Christ. Go back to first principles. Go back to church. Go back to the fellowship. Not on your terms, but on their terms, right? Go back to your first love. Remember your water baptism. Remember your confession. Remember the gospel. Go back to the cross and resurrection. Reread the Bible again. There was nothing wrong with your initial commitments. And so, love Jesus and feed my sheep. Go teach the Sunday school and the youth. And we've only got a couple more weeks till the end of term, so just plug away, not long to go. Feed my sheep. Let's volunteer for summer because lots of people are going to be away over summer. Some of the teachers who have been serving all year, they need a bit of a break. But maybe you could come in and be a bit of a relief and serve at this time of year, this summer break when people are finally free to attend church. Perhaps I could volunteer some of my time. Feed my sheep. Go read the Bible to your children. Feed my sheep. Look at the world filled with ignorance of the Lord and see what you can do to plug some of those gaps there. Jesus says, follow me, follow me. And that's how you go forward, isn't it? You follow someone, you go forward, right? Follow the star. The star will lead you to Jesus anyway. So follow Jesus. And so the question for you is, what will you do? Will you love Jesus? And will you feed his sheep? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we bring to you all our sins and our bad habits and all the things that take us away from putting you first, from seeking your glory. Father, motivate us by your love. Give us energy, sustain us, that we might continue to love you more and serve you more. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.